Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to worship with you. It sure is. I am glad that you were able to be here today. I'm glad any of us were able to be here today after all the rain we got this week. God has been faithful. He's been faithful. Today we are going to bring a wrap to the series that we have been doing on prayer through the book of Colossians chapter 1. And so we have, over the past couple of weeks, we talked about what we should be praying for, right? Sort of having a priority list of not just focusing on the fruit that we want from God, but really praying that God would help us to submit ourselves to Him. And then last week, we talked about why we ought to pray in the name of Jesus, like who Jesus is, and why, if we're going to pray in the name of anybody, it ought to be in the name of Jesus. This week, though, it's kind of interesting. This week is not really about prayer, but if prayer ain't part of it, you're going to struggle with it. All right. This last part of the chapter that we're going to get into, which is starting in Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 24, and we'll get there in just a minute. It talks about some of the turmoil that Paul went through and some of the turmoil even that Jesus went through. And so what we're going to talk about today is like how to get through hard times. And let me just kind of give you the punchline to the sermon here. Part of it is we've got to pray through those hard times. And if we haven't learned how to pray through, if we don't know what it feels like to pray through, then we may find ourselves struggling in the midst of these hard times in our lives. And we may find ourselves blaming God for things that God is trying to teach us through, right? And so we need to have a right perspective on who God is, what He's doing, and how we can pray through even the turmoil that we may have. Let me just say right off the bat before we pray to start this thing off, I recognize that for whoever may be in this room or even listening to this sermon online, like everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got stuff. And I'm not just talking about my sinus crud that I'm trying to work through today. Y'all pray for me. We're going to get there. Hopefully this one bottle of water will be enough. We all got stuff from our history. I mean, let's be honest. For some of us, we may have stuff from yesterday, right? That we are trying to work through. And some of this stuff is not even just sins that we've committed or bad choices that we made. Sometimes we just got a lot of drama in our families. We got a lot of drama at our work. We got a lot of drama when we go to the doctor. There's turmoil and anxiety and struggle and affliction that many of us deal with each and every day of our lives. And I just need you to know, I may not know what your struggle is, but what I need you to understand is that God knows your struggle. God knows your affliction. And everything we're going to talk about today, it will be super easy for the devil to convince you that, well, this is nice for his stuff, but it doesn't apply to me. And I just need you to know, whatever comes out from the voice of God today is for you. And it's for your situation. It's for your struggle. So let Him speak to you today. In fact, let's pray. God, I thank You so much. Thank You, God, for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity just to be here today. I thank You, God, for Your promise to be with us. For, Lord, we know that if You're here, like, we have access to the divine, to the infinite, to the miraculous. And so, Lord, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that You would speak into our lives in a way that we've never experienced before. God, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that my words would be Your words. God, that Your message alone would go forth today. God, that You would transform every life under the sound of my voice, whether it be in this room or wherever around the world. God, may Your word have its way today. Let Your spirit work in a mighty and powerful way. Help us, God, to say yes to You. Whatever it is You might be challenging us with today, God, help us say yes to You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to be in Colossians chapter 1. And as I've done with the rest of this chapter here, we're going to kind of run through this sort of verse by verse. And we're going to start in verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. And here's how it starts. It says, now I rejoice in what I, this is Paul speaking now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, talking to the Colossian church. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, that's going to be the most confusing verse we read today. And I'm also just going to put out there, it is kind of a confusing verse, right? You see phrases in there like, that Paul is filling up in his flesh what was still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. Like, what was lacking in regard to Christ's affliction, right? Like, did he not suffer enough, right? Like, was the cross not enough? And that's not what Paul's trying to say here. Basically, what Paul is trying to let this church know is that affliction didn't stop with Jesus, right? Affliction for the church, affliction even for those who would consider themselves to be leaders in God's church, like, affliction didn't stop with Jesus. Jesus himself was afflicted. In fact, there's a prophecy in regard to that in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. That's because of his affliction, right? That affliction did not stop with Jesus. And Paul here in verse 24 is talking about the fact that he has also endured affliction, but not just for himself. He endured this affliction for the sake of the church. What I want us to recognize is that Paul, you know, part of his affliction was imprisonment and abuse and all kinds of things. He was stoned and all this kind of stuff, right? But you need to understand, affliction isn't just about imprisonment and abuse. Affliction is also about sacrifice and personal desires. In other words, part of affliction is, you know what, I have some things that I want to do in my life, but if I'm going to be about the mission of God for the church of God, then I've got to set down my desires in order to pick up the desires of God. If I'm going to actually accomplish the mission of God in my life, I've got to set my mission aside. I have to let my mission be afflicted in order that I can live out the mission that Jesus has for me, right? See, part of our affliction is not just physical. Our affliction is also in the desires of our hearts. Affliction can actually become a really terrible time of questioning, too. We go through hard times and struggle, and we might begin to ask ourselves things like, well, am I really sure that this is God? Is it supposed to be this difficult? Like, did I do something wrong? I mean, if life is this hard, does that mean that somehow I've not been walking in obedience with God? Is this God's punishment on my life? See, if we aren't careful, we will actually talk to ourselves so much that we actually forget to talk to God. Hear that now. Sometimes we can talk to ourselves so much that we actually forget to talk to God, that we actually forget to press into him, that we actually forget to pray and to hear his voice. Sometimes the affliction can be so heavy on our lives and so pressing on us that we forget that he is the one who brings salvation, not only from our sins, but in every area of our lives. See, affliction is not the time to stop praying. Affliction is not the time to isolate. Affliction is not the time to stay away from a worship service. Affliction is not the time to stay away from a community group. Affliction is not the time to stop sharing the good news of Jesus with other people. No, no, no. Affliction is the time that you need to press into all that even more. Affliction is not the time to stop praying. Affliction is the time to start praying through. Affliction is the time to say, you know what? I know it's going to be hard, but I know that God is able. And so I am going to pray through this situation to keep me focused on everything that he would have for me. Affliction did not stop with Jesus, and it did not stop with Paul, and it has not stopped even still. And if it hasn't reached you yet, it will. And if it won't reach you, you might want to ask why. Getting ahead of myself. So let me read in verses 25 and 26. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. Says, I became, again, this is Paul speaking to the Colossian church. I have become its servant, talking about the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. See, part of the reason that Paul could endure that affliction, part of the reason he could pray through, is because Paul was focused on the mission. He knew that he had received a commission from Jesus himself. And so he wasn't just out there trying to live his own life. The reason he was able to press through the hard times that he had was because he was focused on a mission. Just because we feel affliction in our lives doesn't mean that we are doing our life wrong. Oh, I need you to hear that today. Because sometimes we will start out on a race. We will start out in this endeavor to be on mission with Jesus, and then we bump up against something that is hard in our lives. Something sometimes is directly connected to that decision to follow Jesus, and sometimes it's just life. But we will decide, okay, I'm going to be on mission with Jesus, and then we hit this speed bump, we hit this wall, and we think, oh, well, that must mean I shouldn't go that way. And I just need you to hear right now, that's actually the opposite of what it meant for Paul. I mean, think about this. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul was had already encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. In chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, talking about Paul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. We ain't got time to get into all that right now. Basically, those are people who were not Jewish people, but yet that Jesus still came to save by grace through faith, right? To proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Watch this now. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Now, you might read that and think, oh, man, I sure hope God don't call me to nothing, right? Right? But the reality is, like suffering was just going to be part of the journey. God knew when Jesus spoke into Paul's life and asked him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He knew at that very moment that if Paul were to engage in this mission to take the good news of Jesus to people who felt like the good news was not for them, if he was going to go on this mission, then it was going to bring him suffering. See, suffering was part of the mission that God called Paul to. But watch this, because Paul would not accomplish his mission without suffering. But at the same time, suffering didn't keep him from pursuing the mission. That's my question that I think we all need to wrestle with even now. Which would we choose? You can either just have faith by yourself and not make any impact in anyone else's life and endure no suffering whatsoever. Or you could actually go on mission with Jesus and share the good news with others and help raise up other disciples. But as you go, I promise you, you're going to endure affliction and suffering. Which one do we choose? That was literally the decision that Paul had to make. And part of the reason that we are here today was because he chose the mission, no matter what kind of affliction may come with it. He said, I will be about the mission. I have seen Jesus for myself, and I know that what I knew before was only part of what I needed. But now, because I have met Jesus, there is nothing that will keep me from being able to share the good news of how he's changed my life with other people who need that exact same good news. See, we've got to pray through decisions like this. We got to pray through ideas like this. Like, if you could, and let me be honest with you, this is a very real possibility for us. Like, it's very possible that you could just do you in regard to faith. You could just focus on your own Bible reading, just focus on your own prayer, just focus on your own giving, just focus on you. Just focus, just make sure that you're worship with a church that sings all the songs you like. Make sure that you show up at a worship service where the preacher preaches all the things that you want to hear, right? Like you can do that. And if I'm not that guy, like, you probably already listened to it online, right? Whatever. Like it's very possible for you to get exactly what you want and make no impact in anyone else's life for the cause of Christ. The question is, are we going to be intentional and say, you know what? The mission can't stop with me. Like, I don't care what happens. If I'm going to be afflicted, I'm going to be afflicted on mission for Jesus. If I'm going to suffer, I'm going to suffer while I'm on mission with Jesus. Like, one of the things, let me just tell you, by the way, one of the things I love about our congregation is the age diversity that is represented here, right? I'm so excited about the young people that are here and are getting baptized, that we're able to partner up with those that have been walking with Jesus for a while and in this youth discipleship network, and even with our kids ministry as well. Man, it's so amazing. But I am also super excited about some older people who got some aches and pains every single day. And you know, a lot of those people that you might be sitting next to even right now choose every single Sunday to hurt here rather than to hurt at home. They choose to hurt here so that they can worship with the body of Christ rather than to just hurt at home. Like you need to understand, like, that is an affliction. And what they decided is, I don't care what it feels like, I'm going to be with the church. I'm going to let my voice be heard. I'm going to let God hear from me. And I'm going to encourage some others as well. And I just need you to know, you may never hear the testimony of their affliction, but I promise you it is there. And it makes me ask myself, what am I pressing through to get here? It's pretty easy. I mean, today I sound like a man. Oh, I guess it's time for the sermon to end. I mean, today I got this whatever voice. Like, we were joking earlier, I sound like Shaquille O'Neal talking to Charles Barkley on TNT or something like that. This is not affliction. This is not affliction, let's be honest. We've felt affliction before. And the question is, like, is the mission more valuable than being held back by our affliction? Is the mission worth it? Right? I want you to know it, I promise you it is. Maybe the prayer that we need to pray, maybe the way we need to pray through this situation and dilemma, or whatever you want to call it, maybe the prayer we need to pray is just, God, please give me the courage to be on mission with you even when I have to suffer for it. Like, I dare you to pray that prayer. God, give me the courage to be on mission for you even if I have to suffer for it. Let me keep going here because I'm going to be here all day and that rain's coming again. Verse 27. It says, again, Paul continuing to talk to the Colossian church. He says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here's why this is absolutely vital. Because there are people who don't have good news that need us to pray through our junk in order that they can actually hear the good news. Did you get that? I need you to hear this now, because this is the whole point of what Paul is getting to with the Colossian church here. Like, yes, he's not denying the fact that, yes, you are experiencing affliction. You are experiencing suffering. Yes, Jesus also experienced affliction and suffering. Yes, I, Paul, also have experienced these things. I get that you are too. Paul is not minimizing their affliction and suffering. What he is saying is we can't let anything keep us from sharing the good news with others. He's telling them here in verse 27, we need to share the good news, and we can't let anything keep us from accomplishing that. See, Paul was living a pretty good life until Jesus messed it up. I mean, think about it. He was on a fast track to leadership in the Jewish church, right? Like, he was looked upon favorably, right? And he was going to be one of the top dogs for long. He was. And then Jesus absolutely wrecked his life. And think about it. It wasn't long at all before he went from the hunter to the hunted. And that's not an exaggeration. Right? The church that's supposed to stand for the character and the being of God actually turned on Paul because he understood who Jesus really was. See, because Paul was willing to let go of his old life, he was able to share the good news of Jesus with a whole new generation of people and a whole new group, these Gentile people who were not Jewish, who did not even think that the grace of Jesus was even going to be given to them. Because he was willing to let go of what he had, he was able to share the good news with so many others. And let's not miss the fact that we have his letters today to inform us, and God is able to speak into our lives because he said yes to the Lord. See, when our prayers for safety went out over our prayers to engage the mission at all cost, then our gospel impact will be restricted. But when our prayers to engage the mission actually went out over our prayers for safety, then our gospel impact will be unlimited, right? Church, I want to let you know, like, man, I hesitate to say this because I feel like every time you're going to pray this in the future, and when you do, you're going to be like, oh, you're going to feel shame from Pastor Tim. I'm not trying to make you feel shame. But I'm just telling you right now, the church has been praying for safety for way too long. Like, I get, like, we're going to leave from here, and it's going to be raining outside, right? And please don't hear what I'm not saying. I want you to get home safely, I think. Unless God has a way that could take an accident you would be in today, that you could share the gospel with somebody that would change their lives for all of eternity. I don't know how God works, but if God would decide that me being in an accident on the way home on a wet road would lead somebody else to eternal life with him, Lord, bring it on even right now. If that means that I lose my capacity to do whatever I am physically doing right now, God, you have your way. The mission before my safety. And the problem with the church is we've been so concerned with being safe that we've stopped going out on mission. And I know it sounds kind of weird. Like, Pastor, are you praying to get in an accident? Now, y'all probably, I know there's probably a dozen of you right now, like, Lord, please keep him safe on the way home. Don't, I know what he said, Lord, but don't listen to him right now. Like, I get it. I know y'all love me, and I love you too and everything, but I promise you this right now. I love the mission more than I love any of you. And I hope, hear me now. I hope you love the mission more than you love me. I hope if something did happen to me on my way home today, that wouldn't keep you from being here next week. I hope if something did happen to me today, that wouldn't keep you from being on mission with Jesus. See, the temptation is, oh, well, something happened to Pastor Tim, and if the Lord's going to let something happen to Pastor Tim, then why would I ever follow him? You see how the enemy can come in and warp that message? The reality is, like, whatever it takes for the mission to be accomplished, Lord, have your way. That's a dangerous prayer right there, isn't it? See, that's the kind of prayer we need to pray through. See, praying for safety is easy. Lord, please just keep us safe on the way home. Amen. But to actually mean, like, Lord, even if you don't get me home safe, if you just help me to be on mission today. Now, that's praying through. That's a prayer that's going to stick with you. That's a prayer that's going to be hard to mean for a little while. And you're going to have to keep on praying that prayer until you actually mean it. See, this is why we've got to pray through. Let me get these last two verses in here. Otherwise, y'all are going to start praying through the exit. Verse 28 and 29 here, Colossians 1, the last two verses of Colossians 1. It says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Church, I just need you to know, baptism is a goal of the church, but it is not the goal of the church. Fully mature in Christ is the goal, right? Being disciples that make disciples is the goal. And I just need you to know that to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ has so powerfully worked in me. Like, I may not accomplish a lot as a pastor. There may be a lot of things that we may not build a building here on this place. We may not even start a whole bunch of services. We may not even fill this room with chairs and people in them. But I can tell you one thing, that as long as I'm here, we are going to make some disciples. And even if you don't help me, I'm going to do it all by myself. Because I am convinced that if we don't do anything, we had better be people that are making disciples. What I am pleading with you on is, would you strenuously, with all of your effort, join me in this mission? Would you recognize and pray through that wherever it is that God has brought you, He can use you to speak into someone else's life as well. Your life is not just about you. The mission shouldn't stop with you. And so we've got to be people who are praying through, like, Lord, I'm brand new to this whole following Jesus thing, and I don't even know what it looks like to disciple somebody else. Lord, would you help me understand? Would you help me to learn? Would you help me to know? Would you help me to see opportunity? Would you help me to speak wisdom? Would you help me to learn your word? Whatever it is, we've just got to be people who are going to say, Lord, I'm not going to stop until you get me there, right? We've got to be people who are about the mission, because if it's not about the mission, then it's not about anything. We can do this together, y'all. We can. Like, God's already doing it. You just need to understand it's already happening. But as all of us engage this mission together, like, we're going to see fruit like we've never seen before. Let me jump into these last two questions here, and then we'll get going. So the first question is, what scares you most about being on mission with Jesus? It's really important that you answer this question. It's probably really important that you talk to somebody else about your answer to this question. Because until you actually wrestle to the ground what it is you're afraid of, that thing is always going to manipulate you away from God's mission. Okay? You need to know what it is you're afraid of. Maybe you're afraid of, like, physical affliction. Maybe you're afraid of suffering. Okay. I'm not saying you should be happy about it, right? I'm just saying we can't let anything keep us from being on mission with Jesus, right? And so we need to be able to talk about those things and really process, like, okay, what does God's word say about those things? The second question then is, what do you need to pray through to take steps of faith? Maybe the first thing you need to pray through is, like, Lord, I have been walking away from you for way too long. And God, I need you to help me walk with Jesus. I need you to help me be a Christian. I need you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner, and I need you to be my Savior. Maybe the step of faith you need to take first and foremost before you can ever disciple somebody else is just say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be a Jesus follower. Maybe that's the first, but maybe the decision you need to make today is to recognize that your affliction isn't God being mad at you, but it might actually be the opportunity that God has given you to share the good news of Jesus with other people around you. Maybe the prayer you need to pray is, you know what? I know I've been holding back in this area of my life, and I need to surrender that to God. I don't know how to do it, but God, I'm just praying to you. Help me to surrender this area of my life to you. Whatever it is, whatever that next step of faith is that you need to take. Maybe the step of faith you need to take is to talk to somebody about what's going on in your head right now. Ooh, I just terrified so many of you. Ooh, that was fun. Ooh, that was fun. I dare you to say something about this message to somebody else. I do. I dare you to talk about these two questions with other people today, because I have a feeling God is going to begin to challenge you to do some things that you never thought you'd even want to do. And you may not want to do it even still. That's fine. You don't have to want to do it. That doesn't change the fact that it's still God's mission for our lives. And he can do awesome and powerful things through people who just say yes to him. Here in just a moment, we're going to close out service and everything. There's going to be an opportunity for you to come, and there'll be people up here that you can pray with. Please don't leave today without praying with somebody. Maybe it's just whoever you came with. Maybe you just want to pray right there at your seat, whatever it is. Pray, talk to somebody about the step of faith that God is challenging you to take right now. All right, let me pray. God, thank you so much for your presence here with us. Thank you, God, for your mission. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to pray through hard things. I thank you, God, that as we continue to pray through hard things, that you give revelation. I thank you, God, that as we pray through hard things, that you empower us to be able to share good news with people who need it the most and who need it at all. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you're speaking into our lives right now. I just pray, God, that you'd help us all to just say yes to whatever step of faith that you are leading us to make. Lord, that you might receive glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.